Well, let's take a look at the text for the day. We're in Acts, the book of Acts, that was written by Luke. Who said that first? Right there, Mackenzie. Yeah, hey, Dave, you stole her gum. Okay, by Luke to a person named the most excellent Theophilus, and yeah, that's right. This is his second candy of the day because I owed him from 2 weeks ago. All right. To most excellent Theophilus, and it's talking about the origin of the church. And so Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has ascended up into heaven, and some of the last instructions he gives his disciples is he said, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want you to, what's the word? Wait. I want you to wait for it in Jerusalem. You are on it. Okay. He is a Bible scholar with a sugar rush now. So I want you to wait and pray. And the disciples did something they hadn't done before, which was what? They waited and they prayed. And in God's own timing, he sent the Holy Spirit. And we have the day of Pentecost. And they're all in one place, probably somewhere in the temple courts, and the Holy Spirit comes and they start doing something kind of odd. They start speaking in tongues, exactly, Michael, speaking in other languages, and people saw this and they went, whoa, what's going on? So Peter starts to explain this, and people respond. They go, oh my goodness, we had entirely the wrong idea of Jesus. We thought he was our enemy, when in fact, he's our Savior. And 3,000 people in one day are baptized, repent, are baptized, and they join the church. So the church has been going along, and they've been seeing this time of really unprecedented generosity. And we get into this passage here in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Let's just read the passage, and then we're gonna open it up and have some fun with it. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us!" So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of" who? "Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Starting back at the beginning of the passage, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. What time in the day was that? 3 in the afternoon. If you start looking through the book of Acts, you discover that just about everything, every interesting thing, if a time is given, it's one of three times. 9 in the morning, 12 noon, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What's up with that? 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everything. Oh, you already got me. Okay. One of the things that the early church was following, and this was one of the habits of the Jewish nation, were the hours of prayer, that at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock, everybody would basically stop what they're doing and just have some time in prayer. In other words, they were in a habit of prayer all the way throughout the day, little moments, 12 o'clock, or 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. This habit of prayer. Now, we've talked about how prayer is a lousy way of trying to get God to do what you want, because that's the wrong attitude for prayer. You know, God isn't a pinata, and prayer is not the stick. You know, so you want something, you just whack at it. That's not prayer. That's pagan prayer, but that's not Christian prayer. Christian prayer isn't getting God to do what you want, but trying to put ourselves in the place where we can do what God wants. Where we can do what God wants, making ourselves available. And one of the things we see in the apostles and why these things are happening at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock, when they pause to pray and they make themselves available, something happens. God shows up. So in this case, it's 3 o'clock, and they're going and doing what they have always done, this habit of prayer, going into the temple to pray. But this day, God has a different plan. Do you have a habit of prayer? Ways that on a regular basis remind you to pray. For some people, that's a few moments early in the morning or a few moments late at night. I've mentioned this before in sermons. When it comes to prayer, it's not a natural thing for me. I find it kind of hard. And so, actually, these hours of prayer, these have been a helpful discipline for me. I'm about to go geek on you for a second. I use Google Calendars. Totally love it. Because I know all the geek people, yes! Because you can segment out your day, put little reminders in there. You don't miss appointments. Because, I got all this, I have that crazy schedule. And anyways, so a few months ago, one of the helpful habits I started is at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, a little thing comes, if I'm at the computer, I'm typing away, I'm answering all your long, lengthy, detailed emails. Okay, I'm doing this, and a little thing will come up. Boom. Prayer. And for me, that's an incredibly helpful thing. Oh, that's right. Time to stop and pray. 12 o'clock. Bing. Time to stop and pray. 3 o'clock. Bing. Time to stop. It's one thing I love about Google Calendars, I know I'm sounding like a geek here, is if I'm not in the office, I have it go to my cell phone. It gives me a little text message. And I know, time to stop and pray. Now, for me, it takes technology to help me do this because I'm such a pathetic prayer warrior. Some of you, you're going to do a whole lot better. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Habits of prayer are good. You know, if you want to be available for what God is trying to do in your life, find a habit of prayer. Whatever it is, but find a habit of prayer. Not because you're going to get God to do what you want, but so that you're going to be available to do what God wants. A habit of prayer. And so, Peter and John, they were going into the temple, part of their habit of prayer. No big deal. And they walked past somebody. They were getting ready to go past somebody. They had probably walked past many, many times. We learn in later texts, this guy is 40 years old. And, he's been begging his whole life. This is what he does. This is how he makes a living. So Peter and John have probably walked by him before. Jesus has probably walked by him before. But as part of this habit of prayer, they're going by, something is different. And they're conscious, they're something, they're tweaked, and they go, whoa, I gotta pay attention to this. Now, for the guy that was on the, here was another thing to notice in the text. So, in verse 2, the man who was lame from birth is being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Relative to the temple, where was he? Was he inside the temple or outside the temple? Right, he's outside. Now, in the Jewish culture at the time, there were some reasons why he was outside. If you were a person that had some sort of a physical deformity, like this person did, and Luke tells us this is from birth. This is not the result of a freak farm accident. This is from birth. No doctor could have done anything different. In Leviticus, it talks about those. Can we put the verse up? There we go. Leviticus, it puts this out as one of the standards for the temple. And this is where we see the byproduct of this in the text. The Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, For the generations to come, none of your descendants who has a defect may come near to offer the food of his God. No man who has any defect may come near. No man who is blind or, what? Lame, disfigured or deformed. No man with a crippled foot or hand, or who is a hunchback or a dwarf, or who has an eye defect, or who has a festering or running sores, or damaged boy parts. You can fill in the blank yourself. So here's a guy that was on the outside all the time. He could come into the outer courts of the temple, but there's no way he could go all the way in. He wasn't allowed. And so Peter and John come by, and the man receives healing, and then where does he go? Outside, where is he? Inside. So you look at verse 8. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts. Into the temple courts. Walking and jumping and praising God. Do you know what the byproduct of life change is? Joy. If you've gone 40 years as the outsider and suddenly, bam, it's all changed. What's the natural result? Joy. You happy about this? You should be. And we come into church, and maybe if you ever looked around and you've seen in worship and we're singing songs, and there's a few people that are like, I mean, they're just dancing, their hands are in the air. Sometimes it's because people are more expressive. A lot of the time, it's joy. When your life has been changed by God, joy is the natural byproduct. So, if you're looking around, you're seeing people getting a little happy in church, that's a good thing. The natural byproduct of life change is joy. So worship should be joyful as we realize how much Jesus has done for us. The natural byproduct is joy. I want to talk about one other thing in this passage. Kind of interesting. So here, Peter and John, they're walking into the temple courts. They see somebody they've probably seen several times before in their life, if not many, if not daily. And the Spirit tweaks them. And they feel called by God to share their faith in an unusual way. Now, there are there's at least four ways that people try to do evangelism, and two of them stink. Next slide, please. Four ways that people do evangelism. Two of them stink. Over on the far left, There we go. Okay. Four ways that people try to evangelize. Two of them stink. Over on the far left, you have the show and show, which is, the model of, well, we're going to show people the love of Jesus and then show them some more and then show them some more, but we never tell them where it's coming from. The show and show on the far left. On the far right, you have what maybe some of you were raised with, which is the tell and tell. The folks that will, I just need to tell you, Jesus died for your sins, and you're a sinner, and so you need to repent, or you're going to hell, and it's because God loves you, and so you're going to hell. No, show me the authenticity in this. In the middle, there's two forms of evangelism, two ways of doing evangelism that are actually quite good. There's the show and tell. That's what we're trying to do with things like Servanatchie Valley or Christmas in November, to show the love of Christ and then say, we are doing this as an overflow of the love that we have received from God. This is from Jesus. This is a Christmas gift to you from Jesus. We're just his elves. We're just working for the guy, right? Show and tell. Isn't that right, Chrissy? Show and tell. That's what we've generally done. That's kind of how we generally do evangelism, at least Columbia Grove. We like it. Show and tell. We give them shoes. This is from Christians that giving them shoes because we love you and Jesus loves you and we'd love to have you come worship with us to worship the one who tells us to help people. Show and tell. Now, in this passage, what was going on? Was it a show and tell? Think. Okay. It was a, okay, a little louder, you're doing fine. A tell and show. A tell and show. Because what happens? Peter and John, they see this, they go, oh, we need to do something here. And they say to the person, you can look at the cheat sheet. Yeah, what'd they do? What'd they do? Don't have any money. Don't have any money. But I got something for you. And that's, come on, you can say it. Come on. Stand up. Stand up in the name of who? Jesus. It was a tell and show. I'm going to tell you who's going to help you. And now you're going to see this in action. The tell and show. It's kind of interesting. Then in the passage after, what we're going to look at next week, it's the exact opposite. People have seen what's happened, and then Peter tells them the show and tell. But in this passage, the tell and show. The tell and show. So here's the big question I want to challenge you with this week. Are you available? You know, Peter and John, they were just going in the regular thing. They're habits of prayer. And one day, for whatever reason, they felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit. This is the day you need to talk to that particular person. Now, if you're like me, you know, every now and again you get those kind of nudges, you know? There's a neighbor or something, and you sort of get this, feel like there's a little tap on your shoulder. You should go talk to him. At that moment, if you're like me, there's a certain degree of fear. Like, but what if I look dumb? Or now what if you actually heard something that dramatic? I want you to go pray for them and tell them that Jesus is going to heal them. Now, you know, I think if I was to take a straw poll and say, do you guys believe that God can heal people? You'll go, yeah, I do. Now, if you felt the urge to tell somebody that God was about to heal them and then pray for them, would you do it? You're starting to feel the fear, right? Because what if it doesn't work? What if I look stupid? So the question I want to ask you, are you available? Are you available? That's not a simple one. Yeah, I'm available. See, available is actually a pretty brave place to be. Will you be available? So when God does nudge you to pray for that neighbor, to talk to somebody about Jesus, to go the next cubicle over and go, we're hosting a Bible study at my house, and I thought maybe you might want to come. And you're so worried about rejection. We all are. Man, it's a massive fear. Are you available? So as we consider this passage, and we consider Peter and John, the risk that they took to pray for somebody. Pray for somebody in a bold way. Are you available? Challenge you. You can challenge me too, because I'm as scared as you are. Pray that prayer. Father, I am available. For that neighbor, I am available. For that friend of yours that's sick, and instead of just saying, yeah, I'd love to send you some flowers, to say, you know, I'm gonna pray for you. I mean, now do that because the Spirit nudges you, especially if you're going to be that bold. Because, I mean, people, you know, you You know, there's passages about don't put the Lord to the foolish test, you know, when it's just basically human bravado. Yeah, don't do that. But as the Spirit nudges you, you need to talk to that person. Father, I am available to pray for that person. Father, I think I'm available to maybe pray out loud for somebody that looks like they need prayer. Instead of just to say, I'll pray for you later. What about praying for him right now? Father, I am available. We're at school and maybe people won't really understand it because it's not really policy and you don't want to do anything that, you know, makes people look dumb or puts them on the spot, but you just feel the Spirit saying, you need to do this. And you say, okay, I'm going to trust you. Father, I am available. You're at your workplace and, you know, we talk about business all day long and it's numbers and spreadsheets and bottom line and yet your coworker is really hurting and you say, hey, I just want to encourage you. I've been thinking about you. Can I? And you feel the Spirit saying, you need to pray for them. What? Today? Out loud? What? Father, I am available. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these reminders of bold faith, of people that trusted you. Father, help us to be available. So, Holy Spirit, when you nudge our hearts this week, for the neighbor, for the coworker, for the friend, for the family member, for a child, for a parent. And it feels a little bit awkward, but we sense your Spirit at work. Father, help us to be available. Even invite you, just even in silence, if that's the prayer that you want to pray, just make it your own. Father, I am available. Father, I am available to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.